Shem Kol Yisrael. So how to be a great husband, it's really not just being a great husband, how to be a great person, how to be a great individual. So a very simple lesson. Yitro comes to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu has just led the Jewish people out of Egypt. He is like a big guy. And Yitro comes and he gives him Musar. And he says, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, you don't know how to appoint judges. Right? It should be in this way, it should be in that way. And meanwhile, where's Yitro been this entire time? He hasn't been with the Jewish people. He hasn't been supporting the Jewish people. It's a chutzpah for him to come and give Moshe Rabbeinu Musar. It could be. And yet, what's Moshe Rabbeinu's response? What does Moshe Rabbeinu tell Yitro?
Good call.
Yeah, I hear. It's good chat. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't do what maybe some of us with a little bit of egos would do. He's a humble person, of course, and he accepts Yitro's advice. He listens to Yitro's advice, right or wrong. And he changes himself. And I wonder if maybe that's one of the great lessons that we're supposed to learn before we get the Torah, is this lesson of Moshe Rabbeinu towards Yitro. Everyone talks about Yitro's teachings towards Moshe. We'll talk about that too. But Moshe, to me, is teaching a big lesson of just keeping his mouth quiet. And very often in life, we encounter people who have their opinions, and sometimes we agree, and a lot of times we don't agree. And sometimes they're nice, and a lot of times they're not nice. Sometimes they communicate nicely, and other times they don't. You know, be it the random guy on the bus, the bus driver, or be it maybe one day your wife. You know, she's going to be in a bad mood, and she's not going to communicate in the way that you would have wanted her to communicate. And the question is, what do we do at that point when we're confronted with communication or mussar that we don't like it? When we don't like the way that it was given over. So what's most people in the universe, what's your natural response?
When most
anger.
Frustration.
And then how do you respond? You
rashly.
You scream or you get angry or right? That's how most people. But we here, Simcha Samen, enlightened, holy Yidden. And we know that what happens when you respond with anger? Bad. It's always bad. It's always bad. And so what we've talked about many times is that you need to stop, pause, don't respond, give yourself a breather, give yourself a structure, like something to look at, breathe, sing a song, do like what Travis did, repeat a mantra, these yonos are great, it's all for the best, Hashem loves me, daven, do something to stop the cycle of violence, of violent communication. And instead of responding with anger, just listen. Yeah? Just listen. That's the avoda. So, there's a whole course, actually, I'm taking this course. It's called Nonviolent Communication. And it's all based on this principle that in any communication thing with two different people, there always has to be one person giving and the other person receiving. What very often happens with our interactions? What's the problem? Both sides are trying to give. Right? One side's giving, the other side's already thinking of the response. And then they don't really hear each other, the other person doesn't feel heard, and therefore there ends up being lots of conflict. But if instead of doing that giving, take it, one side would be simply able to listen as hard as it is and respect the other person, then the other person would feel heard, and then hopefully, Bezrat Hashem, be space for the other side to now express their perspective. You guys get the principle? Again, easier said than done. Especially when we're talking about people who are saying really not nice things and it's really hard, close to your heart. But that's the principle. That's what we need to do in order to be great husbands and in order to be great human beings. Yeah? So I want to do something cute. Hopefully it'll be fun for you guys. I want to do an exercise. The exercise is very simple. Okay? It's going to be a little challenging while we're eating, but we can pull it off. We'll figure out a way to do it. Each person, everyone's going to pair up. I'll pair up with someone because we're hot. And just take 2 minutes to vent about something that's really bothering you. Okay? And the other side person's job is simply to be as present as possible, to be listening, to be showing through your expressions that you're really listening. And that's it. And notice like what's going through your head and what's happening. And then we'll switch. Okay? And we'll switch on the other side. We'll do it. That's the exercise to learn how to be Moshe Rabbeinu Yidden. So, how are we doing this? boom, 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 like that. Okay? I apologize if the guy's eating. You'll have to take a 3-minute break while you're talking, and the other guy can eat whatever. Something like that. Seder? So it's, well, what did you, well, how was the experience for you guys? Good, hard, yeah.
Sometimes saying it helps clarify what about it actually bothers you.
Right.
Why it bothers me, like, by trying to articulate it, I can, like, pinpoint, oh, that's the point that was really hard for me to do. Or, like,
uh-huh. And having that extra space of, like, another 30 seconds and you know the other person's just listening can sometimes help you, like, go through, you know, the process of clarifying what it is that's actually bothering you. Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think also, like, speaking it out loud to the person who's listening allows you to kind of, like, kind of realize that maybe it's not as big of a deal, or, like, it's more approachable than you thought it was initially. When it's just in your head, it's, like, the worst thing in the world. You bring it out, you're like, okay, I can, you know.
Yeah. Somehow half the solution is just speaking it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, amazing. It's one of the tricks Rav David told me. Remember the first year here, and I was in Madrid, and I asked Rav David, we were on a tool, and I asked him, what do I answer all these amazing gashkafic questions that all these guys have, and I don't know the answer. He's like, don't worry about it, just let them talk it out. You don't actually have to have an answer. Of course, if you have an answer, beautiful, but like, if you don't have an answer, most of the time people just want to be heard. So David's right. Anyways, okay, what else? What about on the receiving, on the listening end? How was that for you guys?
It's kind of hard not to chime in.
Right.
Too often I tend to chime in, and I think probably 95% of the time it's unnecessary and not.
Right. Did anyone else experience that? Like holding yourself back? Did I want to say something, but I'm not allowed?
I think even part of it was like I want to say something, I want to add, but also like I want to say something because it feels like that's the expectation to like show that like you feel like, you know, if I want the other person to think I'm listening, I have to respond, but that may not always be true.
Uh-huh. Right. And a lot of times the other person just wants to be able to finish his train of thought, and then when he wants to ask for your feedback, he'll ask for your feedback, and yeah. Sure, it is helpful that at the end of the day, if the person gives you feedback, but definitely I think I personally cut people off too early, and before they even have a chance to fully flesh out what's going on. So that's definitely something we all can work on. I think a lot of it comes from the education we have growing up. The teacher asks the question, and what happens? Everybody has to raise their hand, and you're waiting for the other person to finish their answer so you can express yourself. It's like a competition. And it's just like a terrible educational system because it teaches us to not care about the other person's perspective and just wait for them, you know? And it's really not good. So anyways, active listening, caring about the other person, it's a great tool. By the way, just beyond the answering and the listening, how did you, in terms of closeness to the other person, did you feel differently towards the other person after the conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know personally, just speaking and having 2 minutes of conversation, literally 2 minutes of conversation, helped me feel so much closer, you know? And I think, Bezrat Hashem, we should be amazing listeners to our wives, Bezrat Hashem, and we should also choose wives who know how to listen and who are curious and are genuine about their desire to really want you to get to where you need to go. And that brings me to part two. I'll do it really short because I don't want to go too long today. But one more parshavort and one more idea on the same thread, the same basic line of thought. So in this week's parsha, we talked about Moshe's response to Yitro. What about Yitro's musar? What about Yitro's advice itself? Why is that so fundamental that the Torah needs to give this as a preface to receiving the Torah? Yeah.
Maybe like an ideal look beyond yourself and you can. And think yourself out of your vision, think respect to the people and respect to the system.
Yeah, fair. I like it. Not just be obsessed with yourself, but think about for the greater world. Maybe for you, Moshe, this works, but not what's best for everyone. I like it. So Rabbi Daniel Lowenstein in Aleph Beta has a beautiful shiur. You should listen to the whole shiur inside, but I'll give you the 2-minute version. Basically what he says like this. It says, and by Yitro says, Lo tov adavar hazeh, it's not good to judge the people levad, alone. Lo tov levad. Where's the only other place in Chumash where we have this phrase of Lo tov, it's not good adavar, to do something alone?
Adam.
By Adam. In chapter 2, Pasuk Yudchet, The Torah says, "Lo tava davar zeh li atadam avado." It's not good for man to be alone. So clearly, there's a linkage between what Moshe Rabbeinu and the story of Adam getting chav. Now we could again, we could talk hours about what's the linkages and many beautiful ideas we could flesh out. But one idea that he suggests is like this: what's the goal of having a wife? I mean, why bother? It's a lot of work. What's that all about? So the simple pshat is to not be lonely. We don't want to be levad, you know. But Rabbi Lowenstein suggests differently. He says it's not just about being lonely. That's one aspect. But rather, it's about having an ezer kenegdo, a helpmate to go against you, to challenge you, to help you grow, to help you look beyond your own subjective way of looking at life. Yeah? And that's the goal of a wife. That's the goal, if you don't have a wife right now, or even if you do have a wife, of friends, of real friends, to help you grow to become the best you can be. Because when you're looking at it through your just own prism, you're not objective. And like we've just demonstrated, speaking it out to help us get to the truth. So that's the goal of a wife. And that's also the goal, says Yitro de Moshe, of having more judges. Because, yeah, you yourself, Moshe, you might think you know the emes, and you're a very smart guy, but you have to realize that only through that process of having other judges and other people in who are involved in coming to the truth will you be able to come to the true truth. Yes, you're very smart, but you need the help of other people to become the best, to get to that truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself asked advice from the angels. So this is a fundamental principle in life that we need to know before we get the Ten Commandments, is that we can't do it alone. We need good friends, and we need Bezrat Hashem, a good soulmate, to challenge us, to help us get to become the best people that we can be. So in terms of when you're looking for that soulmate, Bezrat Hashem, you're looking for good friends, make sure you get a girl who's helping you grow. It's not just a girl who it's fun to be around, who it's not feel lonely. For sure that's a benefit. But the end of the day, the question is, when you need to grow, when you're working on yourself, is she there for you? Is she listening? Does she really care? Is she challenging you? Is she making you a better person? Or is she dragging you down? And if she's, you know, if you're compromising on your values and you don't feel like she's helping you grow, then that's not the right one. But Bezrat Hashem, I bless myself and I bless you guys to find good friends. And Bezrat Hashem, a good best friend, a good soulmate, to help us grow and become the best yidden that we can be. And Bezrat Hashem, that all starts with us being the best listeners and the best yidden that we can be by helping our soulmate become the best they can be. That's the goal. The goal is to mamish help our souls grow. So please God, it should happen. Shkoyach, guys. Have a great Shabbos, Shabbat Shalom, and don't forget to say Bracha Achrona.
Have a Bracha Achrona.
Anybody, you guys don't know it by heart. See you guys next week.